Hi, I'm Chris, co-host of True Believers, a comic book podcast, my weekly show about all things comics and loosely pop culture. Welcome to the least planned episode of True Believers of all time. As you know from my last update, I was planning to do an entire four-episode series on Magical Girl, mostly anime, although I did find one comic book to read because I love Magical Girl as a genre. But what I don't love is trying to coordinate four separate episodes with three people in three separate time zones. I forgot about myself as the fourth person involved in this. If you're looking for Andrew to be in this episode, I thought it would be funny. Couldn't get a hold of him. And another thing I thought would be really, really funny would be to do an episode on those very unserious DC Comics crossover, like, promotional comics. I know they had one with, they have like a trilogy with Colonel Sanders, actually, from KFC. I think it's like Flash and Green Lantern, and that's unserious. But I found one that was Superman Airheads. I'm actually gonna, after I finish recording this episode, I'm gonna take a shower. And then that is my midday entertainment. Superman Airheads. I'm gonna be kicking my feet, giggling, laughing, all of it. Ironically, that actually brings me to today's topic. How many of you guys have heard of Dream Daddy, a dad dating simulator? If it sounds unserious and you've never heard of it, that's because it is unserious. And if you've never heard of it, I don't know where you were in like 2017, 18, but even I heard of it, and I hate video games, I don't really hate them, I just kind of think they're mostly a waste of time, but this is actually one that I own, which is why I was so surprised to find out that there was a comic book based on the game. I have done absolutely no research into the topic of Dream Daddy. I know that it is a dating simulator, which is one of the only type of video games that I was ever enthralled with. I don't know what it was about. Fun fact about me, I didn't know they existed until I was in middle school, and I watched an episode of Ouran High School Host Club. It's the one where they introduced, what is that girl's name? I think her name is Renge. And this girl is obsessed with otome games, like dating simulators. And the reason why she joins the Ouran Academy and like why she wants to be in their club is because Kyoya looks like the main character or like her preferred romanceable character in her dating simulator. Towards the end, he does just call her a loser, but he didn't say it like that. But I was like, oh my gosh, is this a thing? I love those click and, you know, option-based games, because I'm, I don't know, basic. It's just what I love. You know, it's where I am. Just meet me where I am today, guys. So when I found out there was a comic based on this game, I'm not gonna lie, it made me giggle. I literally read all 5 issues today, and I have been giggling ever since. I knew I had to make an episode about this. First of all, some background on Dream Daddy. I don't know exactly who is like the designer or the writer of this, but I know like the producers is some there's some YouTube people. I don't mean this in a rude way, but they are Let's Players called Game Grumps. And if this sounds funny, it's because I think it's funny. And I vaguely have heard of one of them because apparently there is a guy named John, and it's either Jafari or Jaffery or something. I'm sorry, John. But he calls himself John Tron. And I have heard of John Tron. I have heard of John Tron. Just like I have heard of the Dream Daddies. So yeah. Like, I mean, I bought the game. I've played it a couple times. It's not the best dating simulator I've ever played, but it did make me laugh, and it certainly made me laugh enough to read the comic book. So the first issue, low-key, I kind of had an issue with this issue. It was about the dads going to a college reunion, because one of the dads in the game, Kegstand Craig, Oh, by the way, I've only romanced 3 of them. So I've played the game actually like 3 times. But most of the other dads get on my nerves. which is why I haven't played the whole game. But Kexley and Craig is the first one. I was like, I gotta romance him. And then I was like, oh, he's got too many kids. But then on my second playthrough, I was like, you know what? I am stepdaddy certified. So it's the dad going to the reunion with Kexley and Craig. I was like, okay, period. So in the first issue, the dad is going to his college reunion with Kexley and Craig, who is actually my second, I've actually played the game 3 times. Most of the dads I find annoying, but I really like Kexley and Craig, even though on the first playthrough I was like, ooh, he's got too many kids, because once I saw that, I think there was 3, yeah, he's got 2 runners, and one that was in a sling, and I was like, He's just not my dream daddy. But on the second playthrough, I realized that I was stepdaddy certified. So me and Kexley and Craig and his three kids and my Amanda Panda, we became a beautiful family. So I was shocked initially because they showed me a dad who was like a white redhead man, and I was aghast because my dad doesn't look like that. So I was like, who the hell is this? And then I was like, oh, okay. They're doing a thing. So this first issue, I gotta say, it was pretty fun. I found out a little bit more about Kexley and Craig. Well, I say found out a little bit more, but this is stuff I, like, read in 2018. So I might have known that his ex-wife was named Smashley. I'm sure it's just Ashley, but I'm also sure that Smashley is the coolest girl in the entire world. I mean woman, because we're all grown here. And I forgot that Kexley and Craig was the dad's college roommate, which is really, really cool. They went to the reunion, like, together, and then they end up, it's kind of like a little mini date, which I thought was sweet. Issue number 2, Let the Right Dad In. See, these are the two dads that get on my nerves. One of them I've romanced, one of them I haven't. I won't say which one, but it's about Robert, who is the... Hold on, I gotta see which one he is. Yeah, he's the... Robert Small is the quote-unquote bad dad. His likes, cool knives, waking up at 3 p.m., hunting cryptids. Dislikes, small talk. When moviegoers don't stay for the credits. Emotional intimacy. Which, that really just amuses me. But basically, so Robert gets it in his mind that God Dad, or aka, what does he call himself? Victorian Dad, Damien Bloodmarch. He starts thinking that this dude is like a real vampire, which low-key I thought too, because he's creepy. Until I was in his library, and I think that's the game I was playing where you pick up one of the books and somebody is reading, like, they have some bound and, like, covered Sasuke and Naruto fanfiction. Like, I might actually have to, like, re-download the game from Steam and replay, because I remember that being very unserious. But, so, Robert meets Damien at the docks in the dead of night while he's drunk and gets the idea in his mind that, when he meets him the next day, that he has been mind-whammied by a vampire and, like, bursts into the veterinary clinic, like, to murder him with a stake. What the hell? Child, what the hell? Surprisingly, that did not go badly because Mary was there. Because Mary is, like, Damien's bestie. So Mary is actually married to one of the I think he might be a romance option, but he creeps me out because he certainly has a profile. Joseph, what is he? Joseph Christensen, the cool youth minister dad. Yeah, I don't like him. I don't like the way he dresses. I don't like he's wearing an outfit that only Ken Carson should wear, and he's not rocking it because why does he have on a belt? I'm sorry, I don't think any grown person should wear a belt, because why do you need a belt if your pants fit? Exactly. His wife Mary is, like, the coolest person, though, but she's got problems, though, because I think she's dealing with some alcoholism, and I also think she's cheating, but also he's trying to cheat, too, so it's like, this relationship that the Christensens are in are very unserious. I'm also reading off this website that there's apparently some kind of alternative ending with, like, a cult. What? I might actually have to do some more research into this game, because, like I said, this is a very poorly researched episode, but I had a good time. This was fun. Now, we get to Dream Daddy number 3, Dream Ad E. So, one of my favorite dads, actually the first dad that I romanced in the game, Matt, he has a coffee shop called The Coffee Spoon, and is not doing that well, but, you know, he's trying to figure out ways to, like, advertise. He's talking to the dad, the, you know, dad the PC, not one of the other dads, and he's like, hey, you know, you and Amanda, you guys know all this stuff, and then Robert comes out of nowhere, and Robert is bad dad, you know, if you're not up on game. Robert comes out of nowhere, and he's like, you know what, I am going to film the greatest commercial for this place ever. And so they have makeup, they have sets, they have craft services, they have everything going on, but Matt has, like, massive stage fright. And also Robert is very thirsty for Kickstand Craig, because and so is everybody else, because at like two separate points he's like, just take your shirt off. And then in the second time, literally Mary is sitting there with a water bottle to, like, hose him down. One spray at a time. And you know what? She's valid. She's valid. It's just... The comic is not doing more than you would think it could. It is doing the exact right amount. It's not being anything more than it's advertising it as. It's a Dream Daddy comic book. You get what you get. You don't throw a fit. And by the end, they shoot a tear. The commercial is, like, unairable, but Matt is distraught because he's already paid for this airtime. And, like, I've seen how the Coffee Spoon has no customers, so he really did not have any money to waste. But it doesn't matter, because all things are made right in the end. Once everybody gets over their ego and realizes, like, that they were trying to help Matt initially, they put together, honestly, a very horrible commercial that would not have swayed me, but it swayed the people of Cabot Cove. Whatever the hell this place is called. So we get to issue number 4, Fair Deal. Now, this is the only time I think I've mentioned who wrote what. Obviously, it's written by C. Spike Trotman. But I looked at the art style. Like, the digital, because I read it digital, I read everything digital. I looked at the cover, and I looked at the general art style of the comic, and I knew down to my bones, in, like, a hot second, this person has worked on Craig of the Creek. And that was the most thoroughly researched part of this comic. Everything else, I have been flying by the seat of my pants, and I have just been reading as it kind of came up. But I looked up artist Drew Green, and Drew Green has worked previously on Driftwood, Battle Kitty, Steven Universe Future, and Craig of the Creek. I know that Craig of the Creek art style anywhere. I love Craig of the Creek. Like, whoever at Cartoon Network has suspended the production, not suspended, because it's completely canceled. Whoever's canceled Craig of the Creek, they are my enemy from this day forward. Actually, from... It's a lot of days in the past forward. Like, it was a long time ago. I've been very depressed about this. Craig of the Creek, it's like, though, I hate so many things. I have such few genuine pleasures in this world. Very few things in this world actually make me feel even a modicum of happiness. And the one thing that's for me gets taken away. I've been going crazy. So, when it came to this issue, Fair Deal, it focuses on the most annoying dad, Brian, and the other most annoying dad, Joseph. So, let me intro Brian really quick. Where are you, Big Daddy? Okay, there he is. Brian Harding is the rival dad, and he likes to brag about his kids' accomplishments. He likes poker night with the boys. He likes corgis. I like corgis, too. And he's thick as hell with a big old belly. So it's like, he's really the most of, out of the most of them, he's one of the first ones you meet. And, like, just up front, he is the one who is really, he's giving Zaddy the most. Okay, not the most, but it's like, he gives dad. You know, he gives dad, and it makes a way for him to give Zaddy. It's not just that he was giving Zaddy off rip like some of the other ones, where I'm like, I get it. It is Zaddy vibes. It's Zaddy. I realize that I am going issue for issue and summarizing issues of a Dream Daddy based comic book. But in Fair Deal, it's mostly about the kids. Joseph, he's got these two kids, and Brian, competitive dad, he's got a daughter named Daisy, and then Daisy is really smart, and one of his things is he likes to do is like brag about her accomplishments, and he doesn't like being bested at dad stuff. Also, he doesn't like being the little spoon, which is why long term I don't think me and him could work out, because one thing about me, I'm the big spoon. I don't care that I'm the size of a teaspoon, or more like a grapefruit spoon, actually. That's, yeah, that's about the size I am. I'm not a big woman. But so his daughter Daisy is like, yeah, I gotta do a science fair project by tomorrow. And he's like, why didn't you tell me? We could do this. And she's like, no, I wanna do a volcano or something simple. And he's like, no, we gotta go higher, further, faster, baby. And she's like, we really don't, Dad. We really don't. And him and Joseph act such a fool at the library that the kids have to get advice from Amanda, who, you know, if she's an older teenager, like, Amanda is, I think she goes to college, like, a couple months. Like, there's graduation, and then she goes off to college through the course of the game. Like, it's at the end. If you play the game right, you send your daughter off to college. And one thing about me, I'm an excellent father. Okay, my daughter knows that she is loved, she is supported, I'm sending her so she could do her all, be the best she can be, B-A-R-B-I-E. So anyway, they act up so bad that the kids are all hiding under the table, and Amanda is like, aren't you tired of being nice? Don't you just want to go apeshit? And the twins, they start doing the creepy twin stuff. They like acting like the kids from The Shining, and they're harassing patrons. And somehow this goes completely ignored. But Daisy grabs, I think, a thesaurus, and she moves S in front of T or T behind S. Yeah, she puts T in front of S. I promise I know how to read. She either puts S behind T or T in front of S, but either way, that's the order it ends up in. And they get put out the library. So they still never did a project, though, so they have to come up with some complete foolery. And all three of them work together while their dads, like, they have to sit there and be ashamed. And then they start back competing, but in a casual, friendly way, which, again, was very unserious. Then we... I know this is ironic because of how many episodes that I've just done on this exact subject, but issue number 5 is called Dungeons and Daddies, and it focuses on Hugo, the one who I think is the most annoying out of all the dads. Well, actually, no, I think Robert's the most annoying because he's emotionally unavailable. And Hugo is teacher dad, and my mom's a teacher, so I think that's just not sexy, player. Hugo Vega. Teacher dad likes discussing wine and cheese pairings, kissing in art galleries, the smell of books, dislikes, unfaithful film adaptations of good novels, when his son vapes in his car, teaching summer school. Now here's the thing. Let's table Dungeons and Daddies for a second. Discussing wine and cheese pairings. My favorite wine and cheese pairing is very basic. I like a Prosecco mimosa with, instead of orange juice, because I don't like orange juice, I want some Sunny D. I think a lot of people are sleeping on Sunny D mimosas because nobody else is as crazy as me. And it's really good. So a Prosecco mimosa with Sunny D and Kobe Jack cheese in cubes. Kobe Jack is my favorite cheese. I don't know. It's just a classy cheese. Like, you guys just don't understand. Like, when you have a little cube of cheese. I don't need no charcuterie. I don't want the rest of that stuff. I just want the cheese. And then if I have to have a grape with it, a red grape. Yep. I'm not specifying any kinds. I just want a red grape. That's the only one that works with that combination. Kissing in art galleries. I hate all museums. And in fact, I actually do not like art. It's a giant point of contention with me and a lot of my greatest friends, because I will not vacation with them because I know them hoes like to go to museums. And I'm not doing that. If I go on vacation, I'm going to the club. I want to go out and be seen. I want to wear my outfits. I want to be cute. I don't like to look at art. And it's not because I don't know anything about art. Fun fact about me, before I actually got into acting, I was a devoted artist. I wanted to be an animator until I found out animators don't make any money. And I mean, it sounds silly to be like, and yeah, and that's when I decided I was going to be an actor. But it was not a linear path that, unfortunately, that's where I found my passion. Another thing he likes is the smell of book, which I think that's corny. I don't like people who really like books. I don't know. I think I might be mentally predisposed to hoarderism. And to combat that, I have nothing. Like, I buy things to amuse myself or I accumulate items and then I get rid of them. Some of them I give away or I sell or I just, you know, throw it away. But like, when everybody was mad at Marie Kondo for being like, she didn't even talk about other people. She said, I only have like 7 books in my house, 'cause that's all I need. And everybody was like, well, I mean, we're not gonna say everybody. We know who the problem was. It was just these entitled fools on the internet who make liking things and owning things their personality. I just don't understand having a collection of anything. I actually used to collect snow globes. People would bring them back to me when they traveled, or like when I traveled, I would bring back snow globes. But I, in fact, because of my, you know, being prone to hoarderism, I do not like souvenirs. If you go on vacation, please don't bring me back anything. The last thing that somebody gave me that I actually used, the remote for my car, it came broken when I got the car, so it doesn't have a ring. And my friend went, when she went to Mexico, my friends both went to Mexico together. This is a really long explanation. They have the same birthday and they always invite me to go on vacation. It's in fact them who I'm specifically talking about, but they always invite me to go on vacation with them. But I know what they're gonna do is go to the museum. They'll go to 50 museums in one place and I'm not doing that. But anyway, when they came back, one of them, she brought me back a little keychain pouch. And it's really cool. So, you know, I put the remote from my car in that and I leave it around my house. So if I ever need to be bailed out, my mom can come. Yeah. So he likes the smell of books, which I don't like people who like to be in the bookstore like that. I don't like people who feel like they have to have a lot of books. I, in fact, don't like the smell of books. I don't like the way that the glue in the book smells, or I don't know what that... I know it has to be something with the binding, because I don't think it can be the paper, but I think it smells gross. I like to read digital books now because they're cheaper. And because if I buy a physical copy of the book and I get mad, if the book is bad, all I'm going to do is put the book in the trash. And then once I realize I have to return the book or sell it back, then I got to fish it out or find it from wherever I've attempted to dispose of it. And I've done that before. Like, there's this book, it's like a, I guess you would, I don't even know what the genre of this horrible book is, but it's actually getting turned into a movie on Amazon Prime, and it's in, like, a sub-genre that I really enjoy. I don't know. Anyway, the book is horrible, and I got so mad when I read the book at how annoying, and I vaguely remember it being kind of racist. I don't know. I threw it straight in the trash, and then... I don't ever put anything in my trash, which is why I feel comfortable doing this. But then, like, 6 months later, I was gonna take all my books to Half Price and sell them for, like, a pittance on what I... So, this is actually, in fact, almost, like, a full year from when I bought the book, because it took me a couple months to actually read it. And then I was like, oh, this is horrible. So, I stopped reading it in the middle. And then I was like, oh, let me flip to the end. And the end was bad too. So I was like, who the hell is... And people recommend this book down. We've actually gotten to the point where if I see anybody recommending this book, I know that they're a liar. So I have to block them on any social media. If you recommend that book, if I see that cover, blocked. Because you're a liar. You're lying to these people. You are a lying bastard. And it will never not be that. So anyway, that is Hugo's likes are actually why he's not my ideal dad, but his dislikes, they cemented it. One, the fact that he has kids, because I don't date men with kids, period. This is the first one I was taking seriously. Everybody has kids in this. Even I have a kid, but I think Hugo is one of the ones who had a kid that was almost Amanda's same age. And it's like, if I'm older, and we both got teenagers who are about to be up out of the house, that's fine. But his son vapes. I don't know. I just feel like I don't like people who smoke anything. Don't be smoking around me. He teaches summer school. I know you get a little bit of extra change for teaching summer school, because like I said, my mom's a teacher. But I don't know. That's just not sexy, player. Because like, the best thing about being a teacher is that you're supposed to have the summer off. And it's like, you get, you gotta teach some, That's just not sexy, player. Isn't you taking away from our time together? And also, unfaithful film adaptations of good novels. Here's the thing. Everybody's definition of good is different, but I know that a lot of people don't like the 2005 adaptation of Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley, and I really do, because I actually don't like the one with Colin Firth. I think it's too long. I think it's a miniseries instead of being, like, just a straight-up movie, and I don't like to watch things that are too long for the amount of story that I actually am interested in. I don't like when there's too much nuance in a film or in a filmed adaptation of something. That can be annoying depending on what you want to watch and see. So just because it's not my thing, from the stuff I look for in Pride and Prejudice, doesn't mean it's not everybody's thing, but I don't understand how people... the things people don't like about the 2005 Pride and Prejudice, it lets me know they've got the spirit of a hater. And also, these same people, whenever they bring Gurinder Chadha into this for Pride and Prejudice, because now you're racist. Now you are racist, ageist, you're despicable. I can't even, now you're unserious, you're just bad, I don't know. Pride and Prejudice is the best adaptation of Pride and Prejudice, and I'm not going back and forth with anybody on that. Have you seen Aishwarya Rai? Have you seen The Star? I mean, whoever that white man is, he's already enough looking. Ashanti was in the movie, just for some reason. I'm not a big fan of Ashanti's music, and that, like, the only Ashanti songs I've ever really liked were in the movie, where she's singing about how much she loves India, and, you know, Show Me the Way, Take Me to Love. I'm like, period. And weirdly, that guy from The Vampire Diaries was there. This has gotten really off topic. Who do I think I am? The fandom optimist? I couldn't resist. Back to Dungeons and Daddies. Now, okay, so Hugo, he planned a tabletop role-playing event with the other dads. So let's see who was there. It was literally everybody. I mean, except the dad. And the dad, actually, I didn't even mention in issue number 3, the dad shows up as a bald-headed black man, and he shows up in issue number 4 as somebody else. I don't remember. I wasn't paying attention. I was just thinking about how much Brian gets on my nerves. So it shows, like, a little, they got a little diversity in daddies, you know, aside from the actual, like, dads in the comic. I actually like the stories, I've preferred in this, the stories that don't revolve around the dad player character so much, or, like, when they're less involved. I think it's funny to see the dads, how they are without you around, but I like that Amanda features heavily a lot. I like Amanda. I think she's cute. You know, I like to see a young little black girl, or, you know, whatever she's supposed to be. But my Amanda is black. My Amanda Panda, she's black. We're black. We're a black family. We're giving black excellence, you know? So when Hugo is dungeon mastering his game, he tries to, like, railroad them several times. He has got a lot of people agonize over planning everything down to the minute detail. And I feel like everybody should just be like me. I don't give a damn about the rules of that game. I don't give a damn about the people who make it. I don't give a damn about what the module says. I'm having fun. Are my friends having fun? Like, the point of playing these games is having fun. I mean, the way I like to have fun is making other people miserable. So, you know, win some, lose some on that. But Damien finally checks him because he keeps trying to railroad them. I think he killed Kegstay and Craig's character. And then Damien was like, hey, you are not being fun. You have to give people, the point of being the dungeon master is giving people the opportunity to role play and tell their own story. It's like, we're not working against each other. We're all telling the story together. And then he's like, okay, actually, let's have fun. I had so little to say to sum this up that I actually started talking about the merits of Hugo Vega as an actual romantic partner instead of talking about this issue. Nothing really happens. Like, literally, they're just playing, like, a D&D game. Now, speaking of D&D, did y'all hear, first of all, I don't think a lot of people knew that the Pinkertons were still around. I did, but that's because, like, I'm from Texas. We get rowdy. Like, I know who the ops are. I know where the ops are. I keep my eyes on the ops. Wizards of the Coast, they make Dungeons & Dragons, which, I mean, if you listen to my show, you should know, because I mention it, like, every damn episode that I've done since I came back. Like, damn. They make Dungeons & Dragons. And they make Magic the Gathering. That's, like, their main thing, Magic the Gathering. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that, but they apparently sent some Magic the Gathering cards out to a YouTuber, or somehow this YouTuber obtained these cards early and was like, hey, you know, I got these cards. I don't know if they came out yet. Like, what? They sent the Pinkertons! They sent the Pinkertons! And I heard they had guns. Like, this really is just a tea session, because there are no reins. I've got no strings on me. I was appalled, and I actually forgot about that until I was flipping from issue 4, and then I saw the cover for issue 5, and I was like, Dungeons & Dragons, ooh! And I knew I had to mention that, because that was crazy! Like, after talking about their company so much, well, really only the basics, because I don't really care about what they do as an organization. I'm not very, what's the word? I don't care about what Dungeons & Dragons says, because, as you know, I know the rules very well. I don't care about following them, and I'm actually looking to divest away from Dungeons & Dragons as a whole, like, as a system. I really want to, over this next year or so, I want to be exploring more systems. I want to put together a group to play, what is it, Monster of the Week? I think Monster of the Week would be really, really fun. You know, and I just, my one takeaway from this issue, my one thing that I was really overly focused on, was that they at one point called him Dungeon Daddy. And I was like, oh my God, he's just like me for real. Because one, like, at the beginning, I like to, how do you say this in a way that doesn't sound culty? Okay, Griffins and Gargoyles, calm it down. I like to lead everybody in a short guided meditation and breathing session before I start dungeon mastering. I don't know. I feel like it helps people get into character. It helps them, like, get into the world or whatever. Like, don't judge my methods. Because, I mean, you're never going to play with me, so shut the hell up. But I accidentally said I'm your dungeon mommy once. And the friends who I was dungeon mastering, they've never let it go. They don't call me dungeon mommy consistently, but I want you to know, at, like, the worst times, they'll be like, Dungeon Mommy, can I? I'll be like, shut up. Matter of fact, you know that hill outside? Roll down it. I don't care if it hurts. I don't know. I wasn't prepared to be a mother at 26 years old, but here I am. The Dungeon Mommy. That's pretty much all I have to say about the comics and the game. The game, very unserious. Actually, the reason why I wanted to play the game was because... This sounds silly, but it was going everywhere and it was talked about so much. I kind of thought it was like a sexy thing. So I kept on clicking options and trying to romance people, because I was like, is this like a Wicked Whims thing? It's like... I didn't want to see that, but I was really curious. So, you know, that's a little bit of a lore drop. This last week, I was on an episode of The Fandom Optimists, and I probably should have promoted that at the beginning, but I'm not going back to record anything. I don't even know if I'm going to edit this. This is just a loosey-goosey. Gone with the Wind. No. It's just a loosey-goosey, go-with-the-flow type episode. I've been working on trying to develop some segments for this show, because, you know, you really would have thought I'd have some by now. So, I was gonna say what I was currently reading, as in comic books. The only thing I could be considered to be currently reading, because I will literally be reading it later, is Out of Control. A Superman comic that's about airheads. I'm gonna read that later. I'm in the middle of reading. This sounds silly, but I really want a bunch of my friends to play Call of Cthulhu with me, and they won't, because I have an obsession with making my best friend seem like a racist, and they don't want to take the chance to play Call of Cthulhu with me. Which, I mean, that's fair. You know, I've reaped what I sowed on that one. But my other thing is, nobody I know who already knows how to play Call of Cthulhu will play with me because I don't know the rules. So I know the rules, but in the same way that Tom Holland knows Spanish. And I, you know, I'm working on that. So I was going to be like, oh, currently reading, but I haven't read a book literally since I don't know when. Actually, like 2 days ago, I did read this book called like Scones and Sorcery, and it was like it was kind of like Legends and Lattes for all the people who read that. I don't know, I wanted to read a cozy fantasy book, and I was like, well, this seems cool. They kind of work in a shop, which, you know, that's what the people want. So I guess this is going to be a currently watching / listening. My current obsession right now is this show on Netflix, and it is a South Korean show called Dr. Cha. I don't know why I read it like that. That's a bit weird. But it's about this lady. She has like a giant health crisis. She gets hepatitis and she goes into liver failure. And it's incredibly hard for her to get a donor. And like 25 years ago, she was a medical resident and she gave up on her residency to like raise a family. And now her husband is a rich, successful doctor. And her son is actually going to be a first-year resident as well. And she decides after this health scare to go back to practicing medicine, which is really, really cool. And it's a pretty good show. The husband, he looks sweet in real life, but in the show, he's got the face of those men who just, they get old, and you, like, you used to look kind, and he did look kind in the flashbacks, but now you look like you've got evil in your heart, but not in real life. He looks sweet. I am living for all of her, everything she does. I'm like clapping, you go queen, you go queen. I've been listening to a lot of audio dramas lately, because, you know, that's my bag. I've been trying to find a superhero one. Like, I was listening to Batman the Audio Adventures, but I think every time I started listening to it, it would be like late at night, so I would obviously fall asleep. I re-listened to Absolutely No Adventures, created and directed by Destiny Howell. I will never stop recommending ANA. That's my show. What else? I've been getting more into actual play lately. I started listening to Nadpod, but it's not my thing. And I, like, as a card-carrying member of the Emily Axford stan club, I did, in fact, decide that Nadpod wasn't my thing. Download the entirety of Hot Boy Summer. Listen to that, and then I just moved on. But I really, really liked it. I think Emily Axford should always Dungeon Master. That's my girly. That's my girly pop. And I'm gonna stick beside her. I've been re-listening to this audio drama called Meet/Cute. It's a forward slash, not a backslash. And it's about these two idiots who have a podcast. First of all, they have the nerve to be in the same city. And they both have podcasts that are, like, diametrically opposed. One of them, he literally says that he has, like, the same podcast as any other 30-year-old white guy. And she has a podcast that's about romantic comedies. And their podcasts are both called Meet Cute. And the only reason they even become aware of each other is because they keep getting, their advertisers keep getting mixed up on who they're sending money to and who they're, like, selling these ads to. Not selling ads. Who they're sponsoring. And so she's had to, like, she'll, like, boner pills. He's done tampons and stuff. I don't know. It's just very unserious. I never finished it, so I started re-listening to it. But I am looking for something with more of a, like, a magical sword and sorcery vibe. I've been listening to sitcom D&D, which is very fun and funny. I really like sitcoms. I just listened to their bonus episode where they, like, create a sitcom out of thin air, which is really, really cool. Obviously, listening to Worlds Beyond Number, it's very fun. Like I said, I've been listening to a lot of actual play. Of course, I'm listening to True Believers Comic Book Podcast, which is my favorite podcast. I've been listening to the SJW Comic Book Club. Their last episode on Superman Smashes the Clan was really, really good. They actually mentioned one of my favorite book series. I don't remember who said that they were currently listening to it, but The Queen of Atolia is the most beautiful book I've ever read, and I actually, like, the Queen's Yeah, it's called The Queen's Thief. The Queen's Thief, I recommend it to literally everybody. I'm literally about to pick up The Thief again and then go and find my shamefully annotated copy of The Queen of Atolia. I'm gonna have to dig it out of storage. I didn't annotate it. I bought it secondhand because I don't believe in buying new books. And this book has so many annotations, and I hope this message reaches the person who did it someday. I want you to know I bought the book in Fort Worth. From Half Price Books, and I want you to know you're stupid. I know you probably annotated that book for school, but you are not good at it, and you should have used post-it notes because your thoughts are asinine. I know you can't just call people stupid, but if you. I have to unfortunately mean it this time because if you read the comments that were in the margins of this book, I hate it when people feel like they have to annotate everything they read and. It's like a trend now, and I didn't realize it was a trend until after, because I had the book for a long time before I started rereading the books. Because when I first I reread the series leading up to reading Return of the Thief, but I read like this was what 2021 for me when I they re-released blah they released Return of the Thief. Is that the name of the book? Yeah, I think I'm just gonna call it Return of the Thief. But they were like, this is the last book. And I was like, you know what? I actually started reading this series like almost 20 years ago now. So, well, no, I like almost 15 years ago now. So maybe I should see if I can't find these books. And I, of course, went to the resale shop because that's who I am. And I managed to find Queen of Atolia and King of Atolia, previously owned by the same dummy. And I didn't realize that annotating had become such a big trend in the last couple years because the books are pretty, like, they're old editions, but this was, I obviously have a third-hand book. They bought that book at the store, and then for some reason they decided to annotate it, and they have the worst opinions ever on literature. Ugh, I might have to cut that out because, like, they pissed me off with this. And that's all for this week's episode of True Believers Comic Book Podcast. Thank you for all your support. I'll be back next week, hopefully on time. Maybe. True Believers is available on all major streaming platforms and a member of the Holopods Podcasting Network alongside the SJW Comic Book Club, Cape Corner, and the Fandom Optimist. And if you want to hear me giving my thoughts weirdly on the Dungeons and Dragons movie, their most recent one, Honor Among Thieves, not one of the ones from the early mid-2000s, which I maintain that I like. And if you say they finally made a good D&D movie, you will get blocked. I did that this past week. And you can find all of our links in the link tree below. And as always, if you want to leave us a suggestion on what we read or watch, actually not us, just me, you can find and DM me on any social media. You can email me at number1truebelieverspod@gmail.com, or you can join our Discord. Bye.
Hit that like and subscribe, guys.
Okay, that's perfect.